It is a joy again to be here for Mother's Day, though. I've been blessed. My sweet mom went to heaven here some years ago, and we thank the Lord for her influence on my life. But I've had the privilege now for 25 years to watch Amy be the mother to my children. And so what a wonderful job she has done. And I've been blessed apart from that as well. Many mothers here in the church, we get to see you. And as I mentioned, some of the special music today that raised up by godly mothers that are trying to raise their children for the Lord. And very, very thankful for what God has blessed us in. And we saw Allie. She's our youngest. She graduated Friday from college. And so we went and cheered her on. And then we brought all of her stuff back home. And so if you're looking for her, she's probably buried under a pile of stuff in one of the rooms. But we've only brought her home, brought all this stuff in just to kick her out again. She's getting married on us. I tell her, we gave her this wonderful last name and had this perfect setup at the house. She can just be with us as we get older. And then she goes and meets some boy that just messes up all my plans. I'd had this worked out, but now her, and then of course Maddie, she's joined the club, and so mothers, they go through a lot, bring all this trouble just to have their children abandon them, right, Amy? Boy. But I heard about a father recently, and I liked it, what I heard, but I really think it fits mothers better because mothers do so much better job at equipping people. And this person said that a father is the only one that wants their children to do better than they did. And I think that's probably true. But there's just something about a mother. Moms, if you're a godly mother, you always want that person that is coming after you to do better than you did. You know, you want the person at work, your coworker, to do well, but you don't want them to do better than you. You truly, we're all selfish if we get down to it. We want somebody to have a nice house, but we don't always want them to have a nicer house than we do. We want them to have stuff, but we don't want them to have more and nicer stuff than we do. But a mother is not that way. A mother joys when her children exceed what she saw. They rejoice in that they really do cheer them on and say with sincerity that I want you to do better than I ever did. And that's something that most people cannot say. But mothers are a special, special group. I was thinking about the Lord, our Savior. It talks about His mother again and again. And in different passages, it just talks about that the mother of Jesus was there. That's in John chapter 2, verse 1. And then it talks in John chapter 19 when Jesus is on the cross. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus, His mother. And so mothers are just excellent at, if you want to put it like that, standing in the shadows. And on that day that Christ went to the cross, He took the spotlight and shined it on His mother and saw her and showed her to the other people. I just am rejoicing about mothers. There's many people in my family, there's many people and some in my family that didn't have the joy of being a mother, but they have taken on other people in their lives and become that mother to them that needed somebody that needed a mom. And so I'm just grateful for that. I was blessed this week to talk to several folks of our church. Talk to Miss Charlotte Bryant. She's watching today. Charlotte, I expect my pay if you're watching that for mentioning your name publicly. She always gives me a hard time, so I don't mind. But Miss Charlotte taught our Sunday school class of ladies back here for a long time, but has moved up north, and so she's was going to be home today. But I talked to several of our church members today, or this week rather. And it's amazing that in a church family, there's people that are rejoicing about all the good things that are going on, but there's others that are going through the deepest valley of their life. And I want us as a church family to be sensitive to those things. And as the Bible says, weep with those that weep and rejoice with those that rejoice. I challenge you to take your ministry. You've got one, and that is to encourage people along the different issues of life. You say, Pastor, I don't know many people. Do the ones you know and find them and encourage people in their walk with the Lord. I've been preaching through Luke, but I'm not going to today. I would like for you, if you would, to turn to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter number 1. We're going to look at Hannah and Samuel and As we find your place there in 1 Samuel chapter 1, we'll look at verse number 10 to start off with. But I did hear this story about this church. It was all decorated for some event, a wedding, Christmas or something. But they had candles in the windows, and they were going to light those, real candles, and they were going to light them in the evening time. Well, somebody that was the photographer had tried to scope out where they could get the best angle. And so the photographer was over close to one of those windows. And at first, they reminded themselves to be careful about the flame. But then as they got involved in taking the pictures of the service and all the things, they forgot about that and backed up, this photographer did, and caught his suit coat, the tail of his suit coat, on fire. The flame got on there, and it just started smoldering, but then it got into flames. And they thankfully put it out, and the pastor wanted to settle everybody down. He says, "We rejoice that nobody was hurt. And finally, at our church, someone is on fire for Jesus." So it did work out well at that point. And she, Hannah, was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, "O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. And there shall no razor come upon his head." And it came to pass that she continued praying before the Lord that Eli, that's the priest, the preacher there, marked her mouth. He noticed what she was mouthing over here. "Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken." We'll stop there for a little bit. She was misunderstood and people were confused, but she certainly had a great determination to seek the Lord. I'd like to preach for a little while about giving their heart. We find a broken lady that cries out to God and goes to him and desires a little one that God would bless their home. So much so, she says, "If you'd give him to me, God, I won't even raise him. We'll just give him to you, but I would just love to have that privilege." This saint of God expresses to the Lord that she would long for that from him. And there's people in this room that you've done the same thing. "Lord, would I pray that you would give me a child?" And God has answered that prayer. And you, like Hannah, can say, "For this child, I pray." But I think about this. There's many things that mothers are blessings in the lives of people, and many of them we take greatly for granted. I was reading a funny story this week, and this author said that all that I needed to learn, my mother taught me at a young age. He said, "I learned about religion because my mom said, if you spill that grape juice, you better pray it comes out." She taught me about logic when she said, "Because that's, I said so, that's why." And she taught me about foresight because she told me to wear clean underwear in case I get in an accident. She taught me about irony. She said, "Keep laughing and I'll give you something to cry about." And she taught me about stamina and said, "You sit there until your spinach is finished." And then she taught me about weather because it looked like a tornado had come through my room. And then she taught me about the circle of life. She said, "I brought you into this world. I can certainly be the one to take you out." Mothers are a wonderful, wonderful bunch. The treasures, though, of a godly mother. And as we look at this passage of Scripture, a mother's love is so wonderful in the life of an individual. I don't think that an individual would be able to outrun the love of a godly mother. I want you to look in chapter 2, verse number 1, and we'll get right into my points here. "And Hannah prayed and said, My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies." But look at the last phrase of this verse. "Because I rejoice in thy salvation." Hannah was a remarkable lady that prayed, yes, for a child, but also rejoiced in the salvation that God was providing. I read of a teenager who was rather ashamed of her mother because she had had some awful scarring, horrible, and so the mom usually wore long draping sleeves, but one time she was out at a market and the sleeve got pulled up and the person that was taking her money kind of pulled back out of just kind of disgust or horror. And as she got home with her daughter, the teenager was bothered and finally told the mom that what was bothering her was she was embarrassed, actually. And her mom told her the story that she'd never told up to that point to her. And she said, "Well, what happened was when you were an infant, I woke up to our house on fire. And she said, I could have easily gotten out because I could make my way to the exit, but I certainly wasn't going to do that without you. And so she said, I ran into the room where you were at, and I bundled you up in as many blankets as I could, and I wrapped my arms around that bundle of blankets, and then I ran back out and got you to safety. By that time, the firemen had gotten there, and they took you, and you were fine. But all of the scarring you see is what I endured, or what I got from that happening. And the teen, of course, didn't look at it ever the same. And I think about this, that moms, you do such a wonderful job of giving yourselves to those people who often do not appreciate you. You didn't get into it for the accolades. You didn't get into it for the appreciation. You just did it because you felt like that's what God was leading in your life. I think about this. If you look back in verse number 10, I see that this mother that we're talking about this morning, she talking about giving their heart. She gave her heart to the Lord. In verse number 10, it says, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts. We find a lady who knows what it is to give her word and give herself to the Lord. She gave her heart to him. And you, my friend, my mother friend, will never be all that your family needs to be until you give your heart to the Lord and say, I'm living not for my pleasure, but living for him. She gave her heart to the Lord. Our 40th president, Ronald Reagan, said this, from my mother, I learned the value of prayer, how to have dreams and believe that I could make them come true. Abe Lincoln, our famous president, all that I am, he said, or ever hope to be, I owe to my angel mother. I remember my mother's prayers, and they have always followed me. They have clung to me all of my life. And I think about this, you can't give your heart to the Lord without it affecting other people around you. Do you understand that you and I could be a friend to somebody over here and be as hateful as the devil to somebody over on this side? But if in fact we give our hearts to the Lord and we have the relationship and the fellowship with the Lord, you and I, then it is going to change every relationship that you have. So that unsaved person, yes, you can be nice to this one, unkind to that one. Nice to that one, unkind to that one. But if you have a sweet fellowship and relationship with the Lord, then that's going to work over and spill over, I should say, into every relationship that you have. And what we see here is that this dear mother, the mother of Samuel, the one that was faithful to the Lord, she gave her heart to him. Oftentimes people will say that use this phrase, I'm coming, I give my heart to Jesus. I don't know that's the best way to describe it, but I know what they mean. Really, if somebody's coming to Christ in salvation, they would say, I'm coming to him and asking him for forgiveness of my sins and trusting him. But we know what they mean, to give my heart to Jesus. Well, you as a saved person, you as a person who is trying to live for the Lord, can I challenge you that you ought to take the example of this mother and just give yourself wholeheartedly to the Lord? It says that she vowed a vow to him, and she was in bitterness of soul, and she prayed to the Lord, and she wept sore. She gave her heart to him. But look back in verse number 8, if you would. Not only does she give her heart to the Lord, but she also gives her heart to her husband. Then said Elkanah, that's her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou, and why eatest thou not, and why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? We can conclude and deduct that he gave his heart to her because she gave her heart to him. And in this passage, we find that she does, in fact, honor him and give her heart to him, and she gives it to that person that she spends her life with, much like the Bible talks about in Proverbs 31, her husband, and he praiseth her. And so she gives her heart to her husband. Mary Moffett Livingston was the wife of David Livingston, the daughter of a missionary, Robert Moffett, spent part of her life laboring with her husband in the darkest parts of Africa. They were married in 1845, but the years were very difficult for Mary. And so her and her 6 children returned to England while David, her husband, missionary, went further into the interior of Africa. Life was full of hardships for her, and the long separations was not kind to her either. They took their toll, She died at the age of 42, but she had given her heart to her husband and to the work that God had called him to do. Our society is so strong on living and getting for yourself what you can get. We'll say things like, nobody else is going to watch out for you. We make all kinds of references and social media posts, and we can see all kinds of articles written or spoken about self-care and you need to do this. You understand that a mother kind of abandons all of those because she is taking this one on, little one when they began, taking this one on and giving herself to their care. And then, though, we see from Hannah, she gives herself to the care of her husband, who says, am I not better to thee than 10 husbands would be? She gives herself to him and he to her. But I want you to look over in verse number 28 of that same chapter, number 1. And we're going to see not only does Hannah give her heart to the Lord and to her husband, but then to her children. So if we fast forward a little bit, she prays for that child over in the first part of this chapter. And then, sure enough, God brings that child to her life. Verse number 28, therefore also, I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. Look down at chapter 2, verse number 19. Not only is she giving him back to the Lord, but then she's going to take care of him past that, even though he's in the Lord's service. Verse 19 of chapter 2. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year. Can you not picture that in your mind, that this mother taking care of him? Now today, we just put him an Amazon pickup or Amazon order, just have him delivered up to the temple. But that was a different era. Made this little coat, took it up year by year. She gave her heart to her children. This true story, listen. A teacher, second grade, was teaching her children about magnets and how they pick up metallic things. And she was showing them as an easy lesson to show the effects of the magnet. Well, she was going to give a quiz about that and some other things the next day. The quiz, the question was this. My full name has 6 letters. The first one is M. I pick up things. What am I? She was expecting all the children to put magnet, M-A-G-N-E-T. Almost 50% of the class put mother, M-O-T-H-E-R. Let me tell you what the question was again. My full name has 6 letters. The first one is M. I pick up things. What am I? She gives her heart to her children. A mother doesn't mind because long before she saw their face for the first time, she was already loving them. From this pulpit right here, just on not long ago, on Miss Maxie Wampler's 100th birthday, her daughter stood and gave testimony. She talked about a time that she had told her mom that she loved her. And some profound words came out of that saint of God's mouth. She said back to her, I loved you before you knew what love was. Isn't that amazing? That's a mother's love. It reminds us a lot of Jesus's love, because the Bible says about him that we love him because he first loved us. And to those of us who get all proud of ourselves, says, I'm a fervent follower, faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. I love him. I'm glad. But let's not forget, that long before you were that, Jesus was dying on the cross for you. Long before you were ever thought of by anyone else, long before you ever thought about getting dressed up and putting your good jeans on to come to church, long before any of that, Jesus was loving you. And so today I would leave you with this thought, that mothers give a great picture of what the Lord Jesus Christ does in this, that they sacrifice. Nobody can take the place of the Lord, of course, and we would never lift anybody to that, but we can learn lessons from people. We have a song that says, I saw Jesus in you. And it talks about a person living a life that you saw some traits of Christ in that person. Well, that's certainly true with mothers. That sacrifice, that service, that abandoning your desires to give somebody else what they need. And so this morning, you're here on Mother's Day, and some of you come to honor your mother, and I thank you, and some of you, you come for other reasons, but I can tell you this, that the greatest lesson, the greatest truth that you need is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because this lady here, Hannah, as she says, I rejoice in thy salvation. And this morning, regardless of why you came, maybe as a favor to someone, I can tell you this, I'm an old-fashioned, just a gospel preacher. And it's been my privilege for these years to be able to tell people that there is only one way to heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ. And mothers who are the mothers that we love. Now, mothers that are unsaved can be, they certainly help their children. They do all that. But you mothers, you cannot be all that you need to be as a mother until you know Christ. And whether you're a mother or a son or whoever you are, a father, you need the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. And so on this Mother's Day, I can tell you what my mother wanted to teach me. And that was the gospel that saved her sailor husband, who was living a wicked life long before my mom knew him. And that gospel is what permeated my mom's family. My mom, 7 girls, 2 boys, mom and dad, lived up in a holler of West Virginia, just like you would think. For a portion of their life, some of the winters they spent in an old army tent. They just didn't have any money to do anything, obviously, it was outdoor toilets and all that. But there was something happened wonderfully to the Nolan family. That's my mom's maiden name. Something wonderful happened to the Nolan family. There was an old preacher who worked his way into that family and then was joined later by my dad, who had gotten saved and met the family. And he kind of continued the work. But one by one by one, my mom's family started getting saved. And it changed the whole trajectory of who you see in front of you today. Because that family was one that wasn't a godly family, wasn't seeking the Lord, didn't know the Lord, but the gospel made a difference in my mom's life. And then what was happening on the other side of the country was the gospel was working on a sailor's life out there, and they later came together. But the gospel is what made my mother who she was. And today, if you don't know the gospel is that Jesus Christ, he died on the cross, which we bring this cross into the front just to remind us of that's of the real cross back so many centuries ago. Jesus died on the cross. They buried him, but he did not stay dead. He rose again. And he paid, his death was payment for your sins and my sins. And that's what that little girl, my mom, Doris Nolan, believed. And it so changed her life that she raised us 4 kids to live for Jesus Christ. In another portion of West Virginia, came from Virginia, but my wife's mother, Helen Turner, got saved, and she became this great prayer warrior for her whole family. But all because of the gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you're a mother in this room today, and you don't know Christ as your Savior, you need to be saved. If you're anybody else in this room today, and you don't know Christ as your Savior, you need to be. So my invitation I'll give in just a moment will be twofold. First of all, I say thank you to mothers. And I want you to make a commitment to the Lord that you're going to do what you can do to honor your mother if she's still with us. The Bible says, honor thy father and mother. It doesn't give a time expiration on that to say only until 18 or 21 or 25. And then there'll be a group of us in this room that you would say, well, I don't have a godly mother to honor like you do, Pastor. The Bible doesn't tell us to honor our godly mother. It just says to honor our mother. I understand that perhaps, not perhaps, there are people in this room who your mother's involved in a lifestyle you can't fully engage in, but you can honor her to the level that God would allow. All of us should honor our mother. So the invitation, I said, is going to be twofold. One, to all of us, I challenge us, if your mother's still here, that you do what you can to say, God, I'm going to honor her. But then number two, if you're here and you're not sure you're saved, not sure that Christ is your Savior, the gospel, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you've never received Him for the forgiveness of your sins, my friend, our invitation to you is that you would do that today. Would you bow your heads together with me as the ladies come to play something? As they come to play and find something to play for an invitation song, then I invite you to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You say, Pastor, I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven, or maybe I'm sure I'm not. You need to be saved. You need to be born again. And we'd be glad to help you, show you from the Scriptures. Our church can't save anybody. It never has, never will be able to. But we can show you Christ, who you've already heard about. And all you need to do is come to Him. You don't have to come and go through classes. You don't have to come and go through rituals. But you have to come to Him. Jesus said, He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. As the ladies play, if you're able to, I'll ask you to stand together with me. Brother Daniel's right down here in the front. If you're here, not sure you're saved, would you step out and come? Come to faith in Jesus Christ for forgiveness of sins. Would you step out and come? Maybe there's some other need you have in your life. Maybe you need to be baptized. We baptized some folks last week. What a glorious time to see folks follow Christ in baptism. Maybe you need to do that. We'll set it up real soon. Maybe you need to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church and you want to come and present yourself for membership. You come do that, please. Whatever your need is, let's mind the Lord. Thank you so much. You may look this way. I'm going to ask Brother Daniel to come and lead us in one verse of that song we sang. The first one, I think it is, I Stand Amazed. Is that in Can It Be? Second one. Okay. We're going to, in the second one, I Stand Amazed in the Presence of Jesus the Nazarene. This will be our going home song. He'll lead us in the verse and the chorus. But I want to challenge you again this week to be praying for one another, be encouraging each other. And maybe there's somebody here you haven't seen for a while, get to speak to them, and maybe there's somebody you don't know yet. I know that people tell me all the time, so Pastor, I'm afraid to talk to somebody. I went up and introduced myself to someone, and I said, are you a guest here today? They said, well, I've only been coming 30 years. And they get embarrassed every time. Don't say it like that. Here's the new way. Just say, listen, you've probably been coming 30 years, but I wanted to tell you this is the first time I got to meet you. Now, if they turn around and say, I'm your brother. I forgot, but then I can't help you after that. But greet somebody on your way out. Brother Daniel, come lead us in that if you would, please.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how He can love me, a sinner than unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how
dismissed.